The man David is praying, and I will break in the fourth verse. He says to the Lord, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God above the heavens, let thy glory be of all the earth." They have prepared a net for my step. My soul is bowed down. They have taken fit before me, into the midst where all their fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed, I will sing and give praise. Wake up my glory, wake soldiery and heart, I myself will wake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great under the heavens, and thy truth under the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, let thy glory be above all the earth. Now those two verses, verse 5 and verse 11, are identical. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth. I want to talk about that a little. But before we do, I'd like to have you join me in a minute of prayer. I know you're afraid, but I want to talk to the Lord a moment. Now, our Lord Jesus, thou art risen from the dead. Thou art seated at the right hand of the Father in glory everlasting. And we are here in thy name. These have gathered in thy name. And we seek from thee now the aid which only thou canst give. Thou didst go to be with the Father. Thou didst send another Comforter, that he might be with us forever. Thou hast said, when he had come, he will take the things of mine and show them unto you. O Lord Jesus, show us the things of thine. We've seen the things of men until we're weary and sick. Show us thy glory, show us thyself, we pray. Bless us now as we speak and as we hear, and may we think like believers, speak as a believer, listen as believers, and obey as believers. Christ. Amen. Now, David was in trouble here, and incidentally, David was in trouble a good part of his time. And any of you Christians who are worried if you get into trouble, just remember that the man David, he was in trouble a good part of the time. In fact, I don't think you can be a very good Christian and not be in at least a little trouble occasionally. And not of your making necessarily. It wasn't of David's making. David found himself here in a situation that he called being among lions. He said that these lions had feet as sharp as arrows and they had tongues like sharp swords. Of course, it wasn't surrounded by actual four-footed beasts. It was people he was talking about. And he was in real difficulty. They were setting traps for him everywhere. They were after him. And so David did the thing which he knew would win for him, and that we'd better learn quick that if we're going to win. David immediately put God between him and his enemies. He didn't go to his enemies and then talk to God, but he put God between himself and his enemies. Now David knew that he was going to have victory. He knew that. God would give him victory. But he knew that he couldn't have victory by being exalted. He didn't pray, "Oh God, exalt me above my enemies." But he prayed, "O God, exalt thyself above the heavens, and let thy glory be above all the earth." I want you to hear this very carefully and listen, because it is the secret of spiritual victory, that we put God where he belongs, and when God gets where he belongs, then everything works out all right for us. And until we put God where he belongs, nothing works out all right for us. Now the trouble with the world is what I call an inverted relationship. You see, God is above all. God is first in sequential order. He is above in rank and station. He's exalted in dignity and honor. And that's the way it should be. God should be above all, and we should be beneath it. And the health of creation requires that this relationship be maintained. That God be above all, that He be down, that He be exalted, that we be abased. And as long as that relationship is maintained, everything goes all right with us. But as soon as we begin to put ourselves up a little bit, everything starts going wrong immediately. Now, the place of God among men, let's talk about that for a little bit. And what I say may not go down well, and maybe you won't want to agree, but I think all we need to do is check the circumstances, as Al Smith used to say, look at the record. And I think if we look at the record, we'll see that this is right. As millions of people call themselves by the name of God, but the true place that God holds in anybody's heart is proved by what we do when there's a choice between us and God, or between anything and God. And to the average church member, when it comes down to a vote, when he's forced to make a decision between God and money, for instance, almost always it's money, and God comes in for a second, almost always. And when it comes to our ambitions, for instance, there's God and then there are our ambitions. And we're forced to make a choice between God and our ambitions. And it almost always turns out that ambition gets the vote and God loses the election. It's almost always so. And you take a great many of those who are singing now in Hollywood and Broadway, or on TV, and earning fabulous money, more than they're worth. You can render them out and sell them from their hives in the marketplace, and they wouldn't be worth that much. Some of them make more than the President of the United States. And they had their start in church choirs. But as soon as somebody learned that they had a good voice and invited them to come and make money, they gave up the church like that and walked out on God and went to Broadway or Hollywood or some TV station and have sold out for ambition and love of money. And then there's fleshly enjoyments and marriage. I've been a pastor a great many years. I've been pastor 40 years in the Alliance. And the 31 years in Chicago, and I've been a year down in Toronto, and I kicked around quite a little, met a lot of people, been interviewed and talked to by a lot of people, and had a lot of people come to me and ask questions. And I've pretty near given up any hope of ever steering anybody right when the marriage bug gets hold of them. I have had so many people want to know about whether they ought to marry so-and-so or not. And they always go do it anyhow. I don't know why they go to a preacher. I guess they just want him to confirm what they had intended to do in the first place. If you take the average young fellow or a woman and in the church, and he falls or she falls for somebody, and they decide they want to get married, God might as well not talk because they won't listen. Now, occasionally, something like that will turn up. Occasionally, you'll find some noble man or woman that will give up somebody they love very dearly for God's sake. But I think that they are rare in the church. As usually, a person will go along, young people will go along, they'll be at all young people meetings, they'll sing in the choir, and they'll be out helping, going from house to house, canvassing. They will be doing the work of the Lord beautifully until they find some little fuzzy head that they fall in love with, and that little fuzzy head doesn't know God. The first thing they know, they're tied up in a poor way, an unequal yoke, and after that, they're crippled in their spiritual life. Now, I've seen that so much that it isn't funny at all. It's a tragic and terrible thing. A young fellow saw God and the young woman, and he chose. Instead of choosing God and exalting God above all, he chose and put marriage above God. And there's our friendships. I think I can say this. After many years of observation and suffering and prayer and watching young people, that one reason why so many young people go back after they have made, as we say, made a start, they have accepted Christ or gotten into the church, is that they don't give up the friend to lead them back. As faith answers to faith in water, so a friend answers to his friend. And you'll be pretty much what your friend is, and your friend will be pretty much what you are. And if you get converted and then don't give up the old friends, your old friends will have you back with them pretty soon. But a lot of people won't give up their friends for Christ's sake. And then there's, well, there are lots of other things. You can go over the whole list. So the world is staggering on toward no foreseeable end. The way things are going all over the world, only God knows, and their prophetic scriptures can give us light on where we're headed for. I'm not really too much worried about it all, because I believe that God is still on his throne. And I believe that God foresaw all the future long before old Mr. K was born. And I believe the Lord will have his way finally in the whirlwind and the storm, and he'll make the clouds the dust at his feet. He'll have his way in the armies of the heaven and the armies of the earth. But in the meantime, there are wolves upon the earth, shedding of blood and terror and through deception and treachery and treason and all the rest. The world is staggering on, I say, and it's staggering on because it has not put God where he belongs in its thinking and in its living. David knew that if he was going to get anywhere, it would have to be God above all, God first, God exalted, God supreme, then we face down below. They knew that. David knew that. And now there will be no peace for anybody, I say, until this inverted order is related, is corrected. There will be no peace for anybody until God is exalted, until I kneel and say, O God, be thou exalted over me, and let me be abased that thou mayest be exalted. And when we say that, then the Lord will exalt himself, and in exalting himself, he'll exalt us also. The Lord takes no pleasure in crushing his children under his feet, any more than you would take pleasure in crushing your children under your feet. But being what we are, and being sinful creatures as we are, why the Lord has to do this for us? He has to humble us very low in order that we may rise. But we try to rise without going down. I wrote a little booklet years ago, and the title of the book was God's Way Up Is Down. I don't remember what the book said, but the title certainly got some theology in it. God's Way Up Is Down. But sometimes we try to go straight up. We say, Oh God, exalt me, lift me up, show me how the world, how big I am. The Lord says, it'll never work that way, son. You don't know how little you are. Luther said, no man can get too little for God to use him, but any man can get too big. And I believe one reason why we're not used more is we're too big for God to use us. God can't use big men. He can use big men if they think they're little. But he can't use a big man if he knows he's big. And really, nobody's big when it comes right down to it. We're all pretty small. We all know very little. Our knowledge is mighty small. Well, Roger used to say that every man was ignorant, only we're just ignorant on different subjects. And there isn't a man anywhere in the wide world that was ignorant on some subject or other. You ride in airplanes and you ride with a lot of big weights, and even if you're just a little weight, you ride with big weights. Get to talking to them, professors, you know, and scientists and all the rest. But all you have to do is bump them out of their little sphere and they're just as dumb as you are, you know. I mean, it's me. And nobody knows very much, really. But we think we do, and because we think we do, God can't do anything for us. Now that's part of the message of the cross. It's a part of the message that I preach, and it's not the most popular part of the message, but it's here in the New Testament that God is to be exalted. It's an integral part of the Christian message. If any man would come after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. And let him forsake houses and home and husbands and parents and his life also for my sake. That's a complete we in our day. We make a complete transfer of responsibility. Put it over on the Lord and we say, Jesus paid it all, and he did pay it all. Then we imagine that we can hop, skip, and jump and play like children on our way to heaven. But it doesn't work that way. The Lord said, take your cross, learn to die, learn how little you are, and learn how little you'll amount to. And as you exalt me and humble yourself, I'll exalt you. I began in the state of Pennsylvania as a lad. I was born there so many years ago, too many years ago, yes. I won't say that either. God knew when I should be born. So excuse me for saying that. I know I'm too old for my own comfort, but I was born the year the Lord wanted me to be born. Let's say that. And I've lived ever since, moved to Akron, and got converted there when I was 17 years of age. And I had to practically give up everything. You know, my parents weren't converted. My mother was a moral woman, but she was a pagan. She didn't believe in the Lord. My Dutch grandmother believed in tokens and spooks, and she was afraid of a dog howl under the window and all that kind of stuff, Pennsylvania Dutch stuff. And it was just a pagan home that I was reared in. And then one day I heard a man preach on the street corner, Case and Madison, in the city of Akron, Ohio. And he said, if you don't know how to pray, and he was a German, so he said, pray, said pray. He said, if you don't know how to pray, go home and pray, God have mercy on me, a sinner. And I went home and prayed. And the Lord converted my soul. Now, I know some dispensational friends tell me that wasn't the right verse for me to get converted on, but if I got converted, I'm not going to allow any Bible teacher to rule me out there. I got converted and joined the Methodist Church, and later the Alliance, and so I've been going ever since. But I had to give up my friends, you know. When I preached on the street, the same corner that I heard this man preach on, I preached there myself later. And my mother, good Presbyterian, God bless her memory, she said, why, imagine. She said, my son preached, that's bad enough to preach on the street. That's unbelievable. That's terrible. But later on, she got converted. And my old father got converted. And my two sisters got converted. And my brother-in-law got converted. But I had to go down. My father said, there's something in his head. He's got something into his head. He's been up there on the hill and got something in his head. But he didn't know that I'd been on my knees and got something in my heart. So I converted and went down and gave up everything, and the Lord has given me friends all over the world. Now I have 1,000 to 1. I have 10,000 to 1 friend that I have, and I have that many now. Say nothing of the friends that I have over there. So always remember, the Lord doesn't want anything you have. He just doesn't want you to have it instead of Him. The Lord doesn't want you to get lower than you are. He just wants you to know how low you are and how really much you need Him. He doesn't want you to get weaker than you are. He just wants you to know how weak you are. And when you learn your lesson, how weak you are, and how little you are, and how little you know, and how little you can do, then the Lord will begin to exalt you and raise you up and make people know that you're His child. The Lord's proud of His children. My wife and I have had 7 children, 6 sons and 1 daughter. Now we have 17 grandchildren scattered from California to Florida. And I wouldn't say proud, but at least, well, I carry the pictures around anyhow, however that can be interpreted. And I think that the Lord is rather proud of His family. He loves His children. And He takes no pleasure in the death of His saints, and He takes no pleasure in the tears of His household. The Lord wipes away tears the same as fathers and mothers do. But he can't bless us until we've humbled ourselves. That's right. That's absolutely certain. Now, this is what the Spirit is saying tonight, and I'm sure that if you will accept this, and allow me just in this hurried little talk, after this trip down from Toronto, if you let me hand you this, it'll be a lever with which you can move a mountain. It'll be a ladder that you can climb into high spiritual heights. It will lead you to a place of richness and inward experience and deep satisfaction of your total nature and usefulness and fruitfulness in the kingdom of God and golden grace and a ravishing knowledge of the Most High God. And it's simply this, be thou exalted over me. O Lord God, be thou exalted over me. You know, we're born into the world with the notion that everybody, we've got to be exalted over everybody. My old English father, it was years before he could ever get it. He used to say, you mean to tell me that the Bible teaches that if I'm slapped on one cheek, I have to turn the other? He couldn't believe that at all. He was an Englishman. Englishmen don't turn their cheeks. They strike back, and he struck back. And that's the way he lived. He lived that way. Later on, as I say, he got converted in the Baptist Church. Thank God for that. But mostly, we want to be exalted. Now, here's what I want you to say with me tonight. O Lord, let thy glory be above,
And then I want you to put in everything that belongs to you there. Let thy glory be above my possessions. Now, I don't think that the Lord is pleased when we're poor. And I don't think he's displeased if we get a little raise in salary, the business goes well. I don't think that God is that kind of God at all. I don't think that God is a guy, a pessimistic kind of God who loves to see his people poor, loves to see them suffer. I don't think so. But I do think that the Lord wants you to give up your possessions to him. One of the little books, I don't sell books, I'm not a book salesman, and the books that are here of mine were brought here by these brethren, not by me. I have seen preachers write books and drag them around and sell them, and it disgusted me, so I never do it. If anybody wants to buy books, that's their business. I'm only mentioning this, that there's a chapter in there about possession, giving up of all things and having no possessions. God knows I wrote that out of my own experience. Giving up your possessions. You know, we had our 6 sons, and when the youngest one was 9 and the oldest one was 18, we had the daughter we'd given up hopes for. And she came, a lovely little red-faced girl with brown hair. And we named her Rebecca. And she's called Becky to this day after nearly 22 years. And, of course, she was our sweetheart from that moment, the only one we had. You know, bringing up a family of boys is like bringing up herd buffaloes. And these kids of ours, you know, their sweatshirts and their jeans and their smelly gym shoes lying around everywhere. Then when this little girl came along, God help me, I was positively drunk with the delight of it. Her little frilly thing began to hang around here and there, you know. And you could go buy nice, cute little clothes for her. You can't buy anything for a boy. An old pair of pants and a sweatshirt, he's in. But little girls have all sorts of nice things. Well, that to me, she became so much to me that it was such a delight that I think maybe that you got a little, she was a possession that had gotten between me and the Lord. Maybe not, but anyhow. We just had built a new church, and we had a fellow in New York, you know, and we dedicated. We took a whole week to tell God that we didn't do it. I don't know why we do those things, but we did. We took a whole week of meetings to tell the Lord that belonged to him. And still we hadn't given it to him, and the little girl had been brought down to the front by her mother, my wife, and we dedicated her publicly to the Lord. I was dedicating and officiating pastor at the time. And it was all done very neatly and well and publicly done. Everything belonged to God. But you know, when the Lord began to talk to my heart about it, it was 22 years ago nearly, when the Lord began to talk to my heart about it, I saw that there were some things that I was not putting them under my feet. One of them was my little girl, little Becky. She'd grown now to be about 2 years old, and she was just absolutely delightful. Chubby, curly-haired, bright-eyed, and sharp, witted, and delightful. And I remember how I went down before God for giving up my little girl, and I gave her up. I gave her up completely, absolutely, and told God that he could have her if he wanted her. I told it to missionaries that one time, and one of them said, weren't you afraid to do it? Weren't you afraid the Lord would take her? And I said, no. If I had kept her, she might have been in danger. But after I gave her to the Lord, she was safe. And everything that you keep is in danger. But as soon as you turn it over to the Lord, it's safe. Just as long as you hang on to your business, and it's your business, and you make it yours, and you feel it means you possess it, it's in danger. But as soon as you turn it over to God and give it to God, it's perfectly safe. So it is with everybody. Your husband, your wife, your baby, your family, everything you have. Turn it over to the Lord and it's perfectly safe. Well, the sequel to that story is the little girl was converted. And when she was 20 years old, she married a fine young Dutch boy. And they're in missionary college, learning to be missionaries. They're going to go to the field. She didn't die. I didn't have to lose her, but I did lose her. And when I lost her to God, then God gave her back to me, let me pay her bills and look after her for the rest of her life. She grew up and got married. I mean, and built now in college, you know. But that's the way it works, my brethren and my sisters. That's the way it works. You keep it and it's not safe. Give it to God, and God smiles and gives it back and says, now, it's okay. It's not between me and you anymore. You can have this, but now I've got it out from between us and now you can see my case. Well, be thou exalted above my possessions, and be thou exalted above my friendships. Fenelon said that we we hesitated to give up our friends in order that we might have the friend. And he spelt the word friend with big letters, and he spelt the word friend with small letters, meaning a lot of my little friends that keep me from the friend that sticketh closer than the brother. So, dear Lord, be thou exalted above my friends, be thou exalted above my pleasures, be thou exalted above my ambitions, be thou exalted above my health. Love the Lord, dear children, are so afraid of their health. They won't go to prayer meeting Wednesday night because they're afraid that their health will suffer if they do. They won't get up early Sunday morning because they're afraid their health will suffer. They won't serve the Lord very hard because they're afraid of their health. You know God is a wonderful physician and he'll take care of your health. Besides that, a Christian can always die when he can't think anything else to do. You know, a sinner has to die, but he can't afford it, because if he dies, he'll go to hell. But a Christian, when he dies, he'll go to heaven anyhow. And when there's nothing else left, a Christian can always just lie down and say, Father, here I come. So I don't know anyhow why we hang on to our health so much. I belong to a missionary society, you know, and in it they teach divine healing and they pray for a lot of sick people. I pray for the sick too. But I believe the Lord heals and when he wants to do it, I know he does sometimes. I know other times when he didn't. I prayed for some people and they died. But point I'm trying to make is we ought not to be so body conscious about all this after all. This tabernacle that you live in, you're only here for a little while. It's just your summer cottage, that's all. You're just living in for a while. Your real habitation is in the city of God. And so why should it be thought of being incredible that a man should want to leave a summer cottage with cracks, you know, in the roof and the smoky chimney and go to the mansion where the Lord has gone to prepare? So why should we worry so much about it? Be thou exalted above our health. I wrote the life story of a great missionary, Dr. Robert Jaffe. I called him Let My People Go, because that was his text. He used to go into an eating country and say, Lord God, here are thy poor people in bondage to Satan, let my people go, and get on his knees and pray. Well, that fellow, Robert Jaffe, he's from Toronto, incidentally, where I'm preaching now. He was a man of wealth. He was a part owner of one of the three large newspapers in the city, the Toronto Globe and Mail, called the Toronto Globe then. And he got converted and decided he wanted to be a missionary. His father told him if he did, he'd disinherit him. He said he wanted to be a missionary anyhow. But he had diabetes and bad heart. And he was a big fat boy. You've seen them when they have a heart bad, they can't exercise, and they get over heavy. He was a big fat boy with diabetes and a bad heart. And everybody, of course, sat going, well, Robert, you can't be a missionary. And he said, that's what you think. God's calling me to be a missionary. Well, they went to China. He opened South China, started a Bible school, and a printing press in Wuchao, and everybody thought, you know, he should die. And eating all sorts of food, and diabetics have to have carefully restricted diet, but he went over there and fed on whatever they gave him, you know, bird's nest soup and whatever it was, and ate it, along with the rest, but he lived. And then when he got restless, he went down into Indochina, and opened up Indochina, started a printing press in a school in Hanoi. Then later on, when he's 55 years old, and he lived all his adventurous, rugged life with diabetes and a bad heart, 55, why, somebody said to him, it's time for you to retire. And he said, that's what I'm going to do. He said, retire, and he's put on a new set of tires. So he said, I'm putting on a new set of tires, and I'm going right down the highway. So promptly went down to Borneo, and opened Borneo. And then he went over across and opened his facilities, and then he went across and opened New Guinea. Nowadays, when you're hearing about New Guinea and Shangri-La, Roosevelt popularized that, it's right where those missionaries are operating now. He lived right on until he finally died in a Japanese prison camp. Died when he was about 68 or so. How did he manage to live with diabetes and a bad heart and live a strenuous life? I don't know how he did it, but I know he didn't give his... He counted not his life dear unto himself. Oh, God be exalted above my health, so the Lord kept him healthy. Even though he had two diseases, the Lord kept him healthy until he finally died in a prison camp. I know two preachers. One of them had, it was doctor said to him, Reverend, you've got angina pectoris. So he finally put his tail between his legs and went yelping off to California and retired. And there in California, you know, we sat around, counting his 12 feet, and lived like a vegetable. And he finally died after many years of not doing anything at all and trying to keep himself alive. That one man, on one friend of mine. Another one I knew, the Lord said to him, that the doctor first said to him, you have angina pectoris, and if you're not careful, there's scripture activity, you'll die. He said, there wouldn't be any better way for me to die than die in the pulpit. He went right on, and taught in the Bible school, and preached, and taught the Bible in conferences, went right on. But one day his wife came in, called to breakfast, and there he was. He'd gotten up, sat on the edge of the bed, and tumbled over, and he was in heaven. But he'd had long years of active service in the kingdom of God while the other vegetable was sitting down in California trying to keep warm. So I say to you, friends, the thing to do is to give God your life and don't worry about your health. Give God everything and say, be thou exalted above my health, O God, and finally be thou exalted above life itself. Now you may find this very hard to comprehend. But because today, you know, the emphasis is always on the other side. Breezy, self-confident Christians are running about, you know, with very little affinity for the cost or knowing anything about what the cost is for their lives. But God has these few. God has these few. I find them everywhere. I find them up in Canada. Not many, but I find some. I find them all over the United States. And they write to me from all parts of the world. People who want God more than they want to live. They want God more than they want money. They want God more than they want popularity. They want God more than they want friendships. They want God more than they want pleasure. They want God. And they always find God. I will be found of you if you seek me with all your heart. Now there's the roster of the spiritually great. Look at that. Abraham and Job and David and Paul and Mary and Mueller and Simpson, all of it. How'd they get that away? Well, they had a little vow, and they took that little vow, and they said, oh, God, be thou exalted above everything. I wrote another life, the life of Dr. A.B. Simpson, great Canadian preacher who founded the Missionary Society I've been associated with for many years. And of course, in the Fire Society, they looked upon him as being very much of a wax saint. Dr. Simpson could do no wrong, you know. So when I was writing his life, I got investigating, and I talked to an old Scotchman who had known him for many years and was worked with him as a fellow worker. And he began to tell me things about Dr. Simpson that weren't complimentary. He was his great friend and follower, but the old man was gone to heaven and couldn't do him any harm. So he told me, he said, oh, give him $20 bill and say, this is for missions. And 2 months later, he finds in his pants pockets and he'd forget it. And all sorts of things. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a good man, but not a perfect man. And he told me about his handing over the pastorate to him, and then the next day revoking it and saying, I'm going to stay after him. Things like that. You know, showing he was a man of like Christ. And I said, well, now Brother McGough is telling me this.